listening to Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Welcome to New Earth Kids, a radio show featuring kids who care about their community and the environment in which they live. On this monthly show, kids of all ages talk about the challenges facing planet Earth, and we tell you how we are creating and implementing solutions. New Earth Kids is part of the Kindred Continuum series and airs the third Monday of the month at 10 a.m. and is replayed on the air the following Sunday at 4 p.m. New Earth Kids is produced by the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance's Youth Empowerment Program, Thinking on a Mountain, for Gila Members Community Radio. Thinking on a Mountain equips kids with the knowledge and skills to navigate an uncertain future while addressing climate justice issues. And now, New Earth Kids.
Some of the things that you could do to stay healthy is you can eat organic food instead of like eating store-bought stuff with like a bunch of chemicals, or you can like make homemade food instead of like buying cookies. You can make some with organic ingredients and it'll be healthier for you.
Another way to stay healthy is just don't eat that much sugar. Only eat 25 grams a day, or if you can, eat less than that. But if you go over, you're taking it away from your next day's sugar intake.
I think the best activity in the stations was matching the seeds.
I think the best activity was whenever we were looking at the worms, because whenever we looked at the microscope, there was a worm that was hatching out of its cocoon.
I think all of the sections were fun because we got to learn new things that we didn't know, and we had to try new things that we said we didn't like, but we never tried them before.
What I learned is that plants have a process to grow. So it starts from a seed, and then it grows into a flower, then it grows into a plant, and then you get the actual food.
Did you learn how you get more seeds after that? Where do those come from?
They come from the ovary.
So it's just a whole cycle. The plants keep creating to make more plants.
It's like the process of life.
Today on New Earth Kids, we journey through the food system with students from San Lorenzo and Hurley Elementary Schools. Hosted by the Food Hub, who brought together seven organizations from the community, the Journey Through the Food System events show students where their food comes from, beginning with the creation of soil, the sprouting of seeds, and the water cycle that nourishes those seeds. Students learn how plants grow, make more seeds, provide food, and how that food gets from the field to our forks. We will hear from each participating organization, the Food Hub, the Commons, the New Mexico Seed Library, Healthy Kids, Healthy Communities, Watershed Keepers, Heart of the Gila, and the New Earth Project, and how these nonprofits are reaching out to show kids how growing food can be more sustainable, healthy, fun, and delicious. Let's begin by meeting students from San Lorenzo Elementary and hearing what they have to say about their journey through the food system.
Hi, my name is Charlotte, and I'm in third grade.
Hi, my name is Louie, and I'm in third grade.
Hello, my name is RJ, and I'm in fourth grade.
Hi, I'm named Bruce. I am in fifth grade.
Hi, my name is Aliana, and I'm in fifth grade.
Hi, my name is Edward, and I'm in the fifth grade.
Hi, my name is Aliana, and I'm in fifth grade.
What is something new that you learned at the Journey Through the Food System event?
I learned that Walmart buys food from farmers at a cheap price, and then they sell it at a higher price for us to have. And then some local people, like some local farmers, would sell their own stuff for not as much, but it's cheaper and fresher.
If you buy it locally, you mean?
Yeah.
I learned that some foods can come to the store in a year. So, like, whenever they're coming from the other side of the world, it can come in a year later from when it's supposed to come in.
What does that mean for someone who's wanting to buy that food?
it kind of makes it look nasty because it's there for a longer time when you can get it there freshly.
So you want to get the food closer to when it's grown and harvested?
Yes.
Local. What that made me think is that we should get stuff more locally instead of having chemicals on it from all over the world, because I could get something here and then it wouldn't be as much chemicals and stuff on it. Or say it was shipped from Greenland or something and it wasn't as good as if it was locally.
It's more fresh, and then you're also putting your money right back into the local economy.
Where do you guys get your food from at home? Grocery store. How about you?
Walmart. Get it from
Walmart. Where does that food come from?
Farms.
Farms. Where are those farms at?
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness. Around the world. Right. Some of those farms. Do you guys think those farms are right around here?
No.
Some of them. What about South America? You think some of that food comes from South America?
Yeah.
You think some of that food comes from Australia sometimes?
Yes, dragon fruits are those from Australia.
Yeah, those come from, we can't grow those.
Coconuts are from Hawaii
and Thailand and stuff like that. That's a long ways away, right? We have to ship that food from a long ways away. But if I were to pick an apple that has vitamins in it and let it sit somewhere for 10 months, what do you think happens to all those vitamins and minerals?
It has very old and like mushy and like brown.
Right. What do you think happens to all those vitamins in there?
It'll turn if somebody took a bite of it and left it there, then like it'll turn brown and like in a few days.
Yep. You couldn't eat it. What do you think, Jeremiah? Right, so all those vitamins and minerals, if this is sitting around for a long time or the food isn't fresh, they don't have as many. Right, so the food's not as good for us. So what are the things that we do that the food have is we work with farms all around here. Right, we work with farms in Silver City and the mining district and Deming and Las Cruces and Albuquerque, really close to us, and bring that food here so that everybody can have really fresh, healthy food.
I'm Sydney Quesada, we're with the Food Hub.
And Christina Johnson, and the Food Hub, National Center for Frontier Communities.
And what are you guys doing?
We're showing the kids the difference between store-bought vegetables and homegrown vegetables. So right now we're filling up our cups with local grown spinach and sprouts, cucumbers.
Why are you doing this?
To show kids that it's better to grow your own food and to eat locally. A lot of food that we get in the store is picked 3 months prior to us even getting it. So a lot of the stuff is broken down, like the vitamins and important parts of the vegetables. So we're showing them that local grown stuff and things that don't have to travel as far are better for them, taste better, and are better for the environment too.
What have some of the kids' reactions been when they find out how long it takes for their food to actually get from the fields to the grocery store shelves?
A lot of them were shocked. The looks on their faces, they had these big eyes like, oh my God. So like, I don't even think they understood, you know, until we told them. And then it kind of set in, and then we told them, well, this was picked like 2 days ago. So I think that was also like a really big aha moment for them.
Great, well, thank you so much for doing this and for talking with me today.
Thanks.
What I learned is that when you have fruit, some fruit has natural sugar, but a lot of people put sugar in the fruit, but like a lot of fruits like bananas or strawberries have added sugar.
You mean like the juices, or mm-hmm. if you buy it sort of prepared?
Yeah.
They add sugar.
Some things that we can do to stay healthy is drink more water. And if we want juice instead of that, another alternative is like putting fruit and vegetables into your drinks. Because some Sonic drinks, like the Root 44s, they can have a lot of sugar. I think 4 times your daily limit. And then there was a drink, I think a Snapple apple juice. There was 2 serving sizes and 1 serving size was your daily limit.
We picked the Snapple because it had a
an apple on it, we thought, that's got to be the healthiest choice. How much total sugar is there right in between my fingers?
24 grams.
24 grams. And you, my friend, how much of that is added sugar?
21 grams.
21 grams. So in this bottle, there was 24 grams of total sugar. How much sugar are we supposed to have in one day? 25, right? 21 of those was added sugar. And only 3 grams actually came from our apple that they put on there to make us think it's healthy.
I'm Alicia Edwards.
And I'm Cassandra Hartley.
We're with Healthy Kids, Healthy Communities. Can you please describe your display? So we have 5 of the most popular soft drinks that kids like, and we're going to demonstrate to them how much added sugar is in each one. And then we are going to talk to them about choosing infused water instead of sugary soft drinks. And the way we're going to do that is we actually show them by the gram how much sugar is in each of these drinks. And then we talk about the fact that water doesn't have any added sugar, and that if you add fruits, vegetables, or herbs, or any combination of those things, that you can create a drink that is super refreshing but also really healthy for you.
Can you give me an example of one of these drinks and how much sugar it has?
One of our drinks is a Route 66 drink from Sonic. They advertise that it has fresh fruit, which oftentimes if you hear something has fresh fruit, it makes you think that it's healthy. But if you were to drink an entire one of these drinks, there is 160 grams of sugar in it. So 25 grams max, you're supposed to be the max for a day. So that's almost a week's worth of sugar in just one drink.
You also have sugar in Ziplocs, showing the actual volume that the sugar takes up in the drinks. Do you think that makes it easier for the kids to understand the amount?
They really need that visual, because 160 grams of sugar is, you know, unless you have a visual of how much that really is, it's really hard for them to understand what they're consuming. And so what we do is we show them what 25 grams looks like, which is your whole recommendation for the day, and then we show them what 160 grams looks like, and their little eyes get really big.
I was just going to ask what their reaction is when you show them.
Shock. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'd have such a stomach ache. Like, exactly.
Uh-huh. And you do have these healthy alternatives. Can you tell us about those?
Today we have 2 different infused water choices. We have blackberry basil and we have cucumber lemon.
So the idea is to demonstrate that you can use fruits, vegetables, or herbs, or any combination of those. And then what we like to do is ask the kids what their favorite fresh fruit or vegetable is, and what kind of combination they might put in their own water. And it seems to me like the most popular one that we've heard so far is watermelon mint.
Mm.
But there are no watermelons in the grocery store yet.
No. And rightly so.
Right. But doesn't have added sugar in it, right? And so that's what this is. It's called infused water. We're putting cucumber and lemon in the water, or blackberries and basil in the water, and it's going to flavor the water, and no sugar. So that's an infusion. And you could put anything, any fruit, any vegetable, or any herb that you wanted in here. So if you were going to make your own infused water, what would you put in it?
I'd put lemons and maybe oranges, and that's it.
So something really citrusy. It'd be nice and refreshing, wouldn't it?
We have some goodies for you guys to take home so that you can make your own infused waters. Each of you are going to get a little water bottle, and this water bottle has an insert inside of it. You can unscrew it, open it up, put your cut fruits, vegetables, or herbs in there, put the lid back on, put it in the water bottle, and fill it. You can use that same fruit, herbs, or vegetables all day long. Drink your water, and you can just keep adding water to it.
Some things you can stay healthy is you get fruit and you get this jug and you put the fruit, it makes this fruit water tasty and it helps you. But I've learned about this. You eat your chocolate bar and you wait 2 days to eat another one. But you want to keep eating more chocolate bars and you drink the healthy drink to get more chocolate bars to eat. But you don't eat it, that'd be not healthy for you. But it's really good to drink water with fruit inside to stay healthy. And sometimes eat vegetables to help with your veins.
Your circulation.
Another way to stay healthy is just don't eat that much sugar. Only eat 25 grams a day, or if you can, eat less than that. But if you go over, you're taking it away from your next day's sugar intake.
Another way you could stay healthy is when you have water and you think you're a little bored of like the plain water, you could add vegetables or fruits that will make it taste better, like bananas, cucumbers, lemons, or limes. And you could eat more fruit or vegetables.
What you could do is that instead of getting like apple juice from Walmart, you could try buying farm fresh ones, like the one that just came out of the apples. I think they actually call apple juice that's farm fresh apple cider. And then it's way more fresh and it doesn't have a ton of added sugar in it.
Another way to stay healthy is by eating natural sugars instead of, I don't really know how to like say it, but like, I guess store-bought sugars.
Like refined sugars?
Yeah, refined sugars. Mm-hmm.
Processed.
Because natural sugars are produced by fruits and vegetables to make things taste sweet. And then store-bought sugars, they're not as good and they're not produced by fruits or vegetables. And they're like chemically made. And they're not as good for you as natural sugars.
Instead of buying like the sweet, sugary yogurt from stores with all the added sugar, you could add honey or agave syrup with natural sugars, and it's so much healthier and it tastes almost exactly the same.
You are listening to KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. This is New Earth Kids, and I'm your host, Nan Franzblau. New Earth Kids is sponsored by the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance's program, Thinking on a Mountain, a youth empowerment program. And this show is produced by the New Earth Project for Gila Membres Community Radio. Today, we're joining elementary students from San Lorenzo and Hurley on their journey to learn more about where their food comes from and how we can each support a more nutritious and sustainable food system, both for our own health and for that of the planet. Now let's get back to the kids and hear more about their journey through the food system.
So what I learned is that plants have a process to grow. So it starts from a seed, and then it grows into a flower, then it grows into a plant, and then you get the actual food.
Did you learn how you get more seeds after that? Where did those come from?
They come from the ovary.
From the flowers?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So it's just a whole cycle. The plants keep creating to make more plants.
And then there's like a lot more pollen.
They like make more fruit, kind of like animals. They go through like a process.
It's like the process of life.
My name's Patrice Muchnick, and I'm the director of Heart of the Gila.
And Patrice, can you describe your display?
Oh, this is radio, so you can't see it, is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, I have two head-size flower models. Each of these flowers is the size of a balloon. And I'm teaching about how flowers move towards food, why flowers are the pathway to food. So that the first thing is to understand the parts of the flower and which parts of the flower actually turn into the food. And then once we see that it is the ovary that turns into the fruit and the eggs that turn into the seed, we're going to explore all different kinds of fruit and try to find those seeds inside the fruit. Then we're going to look at all different kinds of seeds and see if we can understand what they are and do a little game finding out what seeds we have. Going to look at them under a microscope, and then we're going to eat a little bit of apples.
I see all kinds of great food here. I see coconut and apples and pears and peppers and kiwis. These all have very distinctive looking seeds. Do you think the kids can fully comprehend that whole cycle?
When you use the models and you teach about plant reproduction, then it kind of turns on like a light bulb. Because when you look inside of an avocado, there is one big seed. And when you think about an apple hanging on the tree, that came from one tiny little flower. And when you eat a watermelon, it also came from a tiny little flower. So what I'm actually interested in is having the children see the fundamental value of the flower and how amazing it is that a tiny little flower can grow a great big cantaloupe. And also the concept that when you eat a cantaloupe, you are eating an enlarged, ripened ovary. And actually, I was surprised to see that, yes, they did understand exactly what was going on, and there was quite a big light bulb. When you think about eating all those ovaries, it's a lot. So, the seed part's about the diversity, understanding how different all these seeds are on the planet and how important they are. But the concept that we're trying to actually get a hold of is, when I'm eating a watermelon, it came from a tiny little flower. So it's all about flowers for me.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for asking. All right. You have a good day, Nan. Thanks.
What are you guys doing?
We're finding seeds.
You are? Okay, whenever you guys, what's that you're holding there?
Put it back in.
A lemon.
A lemon, and what's that?
A kiwi.
A kiwi. And, oh, are those the seeds? Right there?
Yeah.
Those kiwi seeds are tiny.
Very tiny. These are really...
Oh, yeah. What is that?
A sprout.
A sprout? Or is it a tomatillo? Is that what that is? Yeah, like a tomato with a sock on.
Do you find the seeds in all of these?
Yeah.
Nice job. Do you know what everything is?
This is a squash.
An acorn squash, that's right.
A pear. Apple. Mm-hmm. A kiwi. Lemon.
Tomatillo. It's related to a tomato. See how tiny the seeds are.
And this is a green pepper.
I learned that if seeds look similar to each other, that could mean they're either related or it's just a different, like, variant of the fruit.
Can you give an example of two seeds that might look alike?
Like a chili pepper and a pepper. The seeds in them look similar, so they're either related or they're just different types.
We're going to go around the table, and I'm going to ask you to describe your seeds and figure out what kind of seeds they are. So,
I got chili. I got
all right.
My corn is black.
You've seen black corn before? So this is a corn that's grown in Peru, and it's a purple corn, and they make a drink out of it. And I grew this corn, and the plants, again, where they were this tall, and these corn seeds are really big compared to some of the other corn seeds that we have on the table.
I'm Jana Mintz, and I'm with the Southwest New Mexican Seed Library.
I'm looking at your display. I see lots of seeds and plants. What are you going to do with the kids today?
So I'm going to have the kids look at a cup of seeds and describe what they see in the seeds and talk about the plants that they come from, the fruits that they grow or the grains that they grow, so we can talk about which seeds grow inside a fruit and which seeds are on the outside and which seeds grow in a flower.
What's an example of something where the seeds grow outside?
Corn, wheat, and onions. The kids were surprised when I did this presentation last week that onions grow from seeds. It's rare that they would see an onion flower, and the seeds are in the flower for the onions.
What's the main takeaway that you want kids to leave with today?
So as a seed educator, I want them to take away how different the seeds are and how our varieties of food come from seeds that look different, form in different parts of the plants, and that there's a connection between the seeds and the foods that we eat.
Nice. Well, good. Well, thank you so much, Jana.
Thanks, Nan.
When there's eggs for like a worm, they can't have too much sunlight or they'll like die in the egg. A lot of good soil comes from worms because they eat stuff and then they dump it out.
What kinds of things do the worms eat?
One of the kinds of things the worms eat is apples or banana peels, coffee pot paper, cardboard to let them compost. But you get a banana peel in front of the trash, that is wasting. You want to compost it to worms to eat to make soil, to grow other plants to make other foods.
You can't feed worms cheese or meat, because then you just can't feed them meat or cheese.
Because they might start to kind of smell when in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not really good for them.
The soil that the worms compost has a lot of nutrients. So if you put it in the plant, it'll help it grow from all the nutrients.
Yeah, that seems to be one of the big roles of earthworms. And these were special composting worms. Red worms? They're red, exactly, red worms. Yep. Which one of you guys got to see a worm cocoon under the microscope?
It was kind of like a bubble, and you could kind of see the worm in it. It had like this little ring around, wrapped around its belly in the middle of the worm.
Whenever I looked at the worm cocoon under the microscope, I saw that the worm was gonna come out because the yellow cocoons were laid a long time ago and they're gonna come out soon. But the green ones were laid more recently.
When I saw the cocoon, it kind of looked like two like large green bubbles with red balls, two like red balls everywhere.
The worm cocoon under the microscope, I saw, it was cool. It looked like a jalapeno pepper seed, but it actually was cool because it was orange and red. And then I see two big bubbles. It's kind of cool. And I tried to look for the worm. It's actually, I saw a black line. I thought that was the worm. It actually was. It's kind of cool to see it because how little the worms are. Because I thought the little worms actually get a little bit more bigger, but they actually get tinier.
Well, when I saw the cocoons, they were very, very tiny. And whenever I looked at them, I could see the worm. There were some that looked that had the color of black and some that were a little bit more red. And the eggs, they're actually see-through, but with color through them.
Whenever I saw the worms, like the cocoons, there were two of them, and then I could see like the little worms inside of them, and then they had showed us two that were about to get ready to hatch. Once the cocoons are made, they start hatching 2 or 3 weeks after, and then whenever we got to see them, there was a worm that was coming out, and it was really small. I thought it was going to be a lot bigger than it was.
Whenever I saw the worm cocoons, they were really small, and they were like these yellow little bubbles, and you could see the little worms moving inside, and then they were really cool.
Do you know the word decomposition? These are decomposers. Insects can be decomposers, yeah. Bacteria can be a decomposer. Mushrooms, fungus can be, mushrooms are a fungus. Do you know what decomposer means after naming some of the things? So a decomposer is like this worm, too. They take things and they break it apart, and they are responsible for making healthy soil, too. Okay? So decomposers are a part of our food chain. So when we get them out, and we're going to be gentle when we hold them and look at them, we're going to occasionally make sure they don't dry out because their skin needs to be moist. moist because they're breathing through their skin. How do you guys breathe? What inside of you do you use your lungs? Guess what? Earthworms don't have lungs.
What?
They don't have lungs. They use their whole tissue of their body. They breathe through their skin.
Can you tell me your first name and grade?
Victoria in second grade.
Hunter in second grade.
What's your name?
I'm Ezekiel, and I'm in second grade.
You're in second grade. Do you guys want to answer a couple questions about worms?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Serena.
My name is Eli.
Why are we looking at worms today?
For Earth Day.
To learn about them.
Uh-huh. And what have you learned about worms so far?
They go in cocoons.
That they're scared of light.
What do these worms eat? Why do we have them in a special box, and why did we bring them today?
So we could look at them.
To learn about worms and to know what they like.
Uh-huh. And what do they like?
They like apple.
Uh-huh, apple, yeah.
Or banana peel.
Uh-huh, and why would we give these worms our apples or banana peels?
They make good soil.
Exactly, yeah. There was no soil in the box before we had the worms. It was just paper and food, and they turn all that paper and food into soil.
I found a cocoon.
You are listening to New Earth Kids on KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. Also online at gmcr.org. New Earth Kids is part of the Kindred Continuum series and airs the third Monday of every month at 10 a.m. and the following Sunday at 4 p.m. Archived shows can be found at gmcr.org. Go to the drop-down menu and choose Programs, then Kindred Continuum, then New Earth Kids to access previous episodes. Today, we are on a journey through the food system with students from San Lorenzo and Hurley Elementary Schools. So far, our conversations have covered how far food can travel from the fields to our forks, the importance of local agriculture, how sugar can be hidden in drinks we like, healthy alternatives to sugary drinks, how plants produce seeds, fruit, and food, and how worms make soil. Let's tune back in to the journey through the food system and hear what else the kids have to say.
What I learned is when you have trash, if you break some glass or something, you could recycle it and then you can make a whole new glass bottle. For cardboard, you could feed it to worms or something.
Earthworms.
Yeah, earthworms. Any type of trash, you could recycle it too. And a lot of times I've heard that the dump, when we drop off our trash there, all they do is bury it back into the ground, so it's bad for the environment.
Another way we can do to help the environment is to plant trees and grass, because a lot of pollution is killing the trees and plants, and people are cutting down trees every year. A lot every year before they can even grow back. Not a lot of people care about the environment.
One thing you can do if you are done with your fruit, with like an apple skin, orange peel, banana peel, instead of throwing it in the trash, this is what my mom does. She would put all of them in a jar. Then later that month, she would turn it into compost.
What I learned is people post their food in a little box and they put worms to eat it and break it down to make soil. And I use the soil to put in the ground to make more plants.
What I learned to keep our thing healthy is to just keep planting plants, because you need plants to live, because you need their nutrients and they give us oxygen. So just keep planting a bunch of different plants, trees, flowers, anything.
Something that we can do to help our planet is stop putting trash and coals, because it creates methane, and methane's bad for the environment, and it can hurt the atmosphere.
What I learned that you can do to help the environment is you can stop littering, because some trash can't decompose, and it's harmful on the environment.
and it hurts animals and bees and stuff. So then the bees can't pollinate the flowers. Then the flowers can't make us fruit.
My name's Alicia Montoya, and I work with the Frontier Food Hub.
And you have organized this whole event, the Journey Through the Food System. How did this event come to be?
So at first, I wanted to just get into the schools. I was hired as the community engagement coordinator for the Frontier Food Hub. And we've hired our steering committee, and everyone wanted us to start with the schools. And we know that the children are the future. So if we could get into the schools, that would just help us shape how it's going to look once they're older. And as long as we can plant that seed now, we figured it'd be a good start. We had initially planned on doing individual workshops in each classroom at each school, but I just thought that we have so many wonderful organizations in Silver City that are already doing these things, focusing on composting or seeds and all the things we wanted to talk about. So I figured it would be best to just have one big event and reach lots of children, and it would be in depth, and I thought that would be the best way, so that's why I did this.
What is your goal for the kids who are attending this event? What do you want them to leave with?
The goal is for them to just get a better understanding of where food comes from. And if they get more than that, then that's great. If they're able to try something new, that is great. And also just helping them recognize each role that goes into growing food. Like, the compost plays a role, the worms play a role, the role of the water. Everything has this role of how it fits into bringing us this amazing food that we get to eat, especially whenever it's local. And I think that understanding all these different roles can help us also understand how to live together, because we each play a role ourselves in living together. And I think that we can learn a lot from other ecosystems and how systems work. So if we can understand how food systems work and ecosystems, everything has this own diverse role that it plays. So it's really just this introduction to the diversity of food, the diversity of all of these roles that come together to lay something on our table that we get to eat that nourishes us.
Good. Well, thank you so much for doing this and for talking with me today.
Yeah, thank you.
This has little blueberries on it, and it comes from a bush. What do you think it is?
Peppery.
Blue.
It's a blueberry.
Yes.
My name's Jennifer, and I'm here with the Commons, and I'm representing the Alimento School Food Program through the Commons.
Uh-huh. And can you tell us what that is?
That is a school food partnership where we provide fresh food to students and their families. We have a farm stand program, a fresh produce bag program, food boxes for families, weekend supplemental food packs, and we partner with the schools in Silver and the Mining District through nurses, counselor, principal. We have a point of contact that determines who the children are that kind of qualify. So we're just there to support feeding kids in the schools.
So what is it that you're going to do with the kids today?
We're doing a tasting bingo. So they will try different things and guess where they go. And it's pretty interesting because some of them know right away and some of them don't. And then some of them just want to eat things, which well, is pretty typical.
Yeah, it looks like you have some healthy things here to eat. I see apples and...
Yeah, we've got grape juice. We've got popcorn. We've got sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds. Yeah,
nice.
A little of this and that.
Oh, good. Well, thank you so much for doing this and for talking with me.
Oh, thank you.
Some of the things that you could do to stay healthy is you can eat organic food instead of, like, eating, like, store-bought stuff with, like, a bunch of chemicals. Or you can, like, make homemade food instead of, like, buying cookies. You can make some with, like, organic ingredients and it will be healthier for you. Or you can eat more fruit so you get more natural sugar instead of added sugar.
Another thing that you could do to stay healthy is to just to eat good food. Check what day it would be bad on. Eat it before that so that you don't eat something bad and get sick.
A way to stay healthy is to grow your own food. Like, grow your own vegetables, get chickens, and get your own fresh eggs. Because sometimes they put weird chemicals on the eggs you buy from the store. But if you have your own chickens and you get fresh eggs, there's nothing on the eggs except a little bit of chicken poop they have to wash off.
You could grow your own farm for meat. You could eat meat. And then for vitamin D or C, you could eat an orange and play outside more often than you usually do at home or at school, because recess helps with that a lot too. Eating more healthier foods, like fresher foods, like at a store sometimes I go, and whenever they give samples, they just make the orange juice out of a machine, and they're fresh oranges. And I eat fresh eggs, and I eat 2 every day from my chickens, and my dad says that they're really high in protein and that it's good for me.
Can you tell a difference between the eggs that you grow and an egg from somewhere else? Have you ever been able to compare how they taste?
The eggs that my chickens lay, the yolks are darker, and the ones that are store-bought, they're a really bright yellow. The ones that my chickens lay, they're dark, they're orange. My dad says that's because of the things we feed them. And for a carton of eggs, it's $8 now. But you can just buy a chicken for $10 and you'll have eggs for a long time for free, so you won't have to buy it.
It's a return on investment.
To stay healthier, you could grow your vegetables or fruits at your house, because a lot of times when you go to Walmart or local stores or something, they spray these chemical waters on them to keep the bugs away, but it's not good to eat. So every time you buy fruit or vegetables, that's why they say to wash them off, because they had the chemicals, and some chemicals stay on the fruit, so then you digest them and it's not good for your body. And it's similar to the chickens. You only have to pay $2 or $3 for a pack of seeds. And then if you grow those seeds, you get a bunch of fruit. At a store, it's $5 for an apple. But if you grow it yourself, it's for free. And you only had to pay a couple of dollars for a pack of seeds.
And like you guys said earlier, it's fresher, right? If you grow it yourself and more nutritious.
Well, my grandma has a peach tree, and we don't really get peaches. But last year, our tree was full of peaches because there was a lot more water last year than a lot of other years. And then me and her also start our own garden, and then we get fruits, mainly vegetables, and we get cucumbers and lemon cucumbers, and then they taste a lot better than what you'd get from the store.
My mom loves gardening, and we all have chickens too. And we did winter sowing last year to help the plants grow more. And sometimes we plant it straight to the ground in our backyard. But that's kind of rare, but sometimes we do that. But it's mostly in a pot or a garden bed. And our chickens eat the bad stuff and the scraps that we do not eat. Also, chickens cannot have citrus, or I don't really know any other food they can't have, but I know they can't have citrus.
You are listening to New Earth Kids on KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. As we continue our journey through the food system with Hurley and San Lorenzo Elementary students, we have yet to discuss the most important component in growing food, water. Next, we'll hear how students are learning about the cycle of this very important resource, followed by a recap of the Journey Through the Food System event with students from Hurley Elementary.
What does water do? What happens to water?
It evaporates.
Yeah, it's going to do all kinds of things. So we're going to get up onto our feet and, using our best imagination and creativity, act out the movement of a water molecule. Okay? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Best acting?
Yeah.
Best imagination?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Can you please tell me your name and the organization you represent?
Beth Cable with Silver City Watershed Keepers.
What are you going to do with the kids today?
I read them a story about the water cycle, and they act it out. So they are the water molecules, the water droplets that go through the cycle from the pond up to the sky, from the sun's heat, condensing into the clouds and then precipitating as rain.
Why is this important for kids to know, and how is it related to the journey through the food system?
It's just some background information of where their water comes from and how it cycles through our ecosystem and our environment. And I tie it in with how it then comes into the plants and the animals and how we use it. And
yeah, because water is so vital, especially here.
Yes, especially here.
And do you think the kids leave with an understanding of the water cycle?
I think that they do. Yeah, if I have time, they sketch it or draw it out a little bit or draw some pictures and we talk about it a little bit. And it seems to me that they do. I mean, it's very simple because that's all we can do in 15 minutes. But they also seem to come with a pretty good understanding.
Okay, yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing this and for talking with me.
You're welcome. Thanks. More and more water molecules come together. You feel them surround you. You become heavier. 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 You begin to fall. Okay. So another pause. What happened here? What did you just form in the atmosphere by grabbing on? You as a water molecule
water.
Grabbed on to some particles. What did you form up in the sky?
Clouds.
Yeah, so you began to condense up in the sky and form clouds. And what happens when a lot of clouds start to form in the sky?
It gets cloudy.
Uh-huh, and what else?
Rain.
Yeah, some sort of precipitation, right?
And the sun goes away.
I learned how the water molecules travel and how they evaporate and turn into snow, and then how they travel, it goes in a circle. Whenever it evaporates, it turns into snow, then it melts, and then it moves, and then it goes back to the pond where it started, and then it evaporates again and just keeps going.
I'm Allison, I'm in fifth grade.
Hello, I'm Gabriel, and I'm in fifth grade.
Hello, I'm Warm, I'm in second grade.
Hello, my name is Santiago. I'm in fourth grade.
My name is Maya, and I'm in fourth grade.
Can you guys tell me something new that you learned today?
You shouldn't have more than 25 grams of sugar a day.
That worms came out of cocoons.
That plants are kind of just like animals whenever they're mating.
There's different colors of corn.
That worms are both female and male.
The new food I learned was sprouts.
The new food I learned was also sprouts.
The new food I learned was also sprouts.
What kind of sprouts were they? Where did they come from?
He told us that they came from peas and that it was crazy. We're like, how?
I know.
What I learned is that there's purple corn.
Are there any foods that you guys tried today that you think you'd want to eat again?
I would want to eat pumpkin seeds.
I'd probably do pumpkin seeds too.
I would do pumpkin seeds.
I would do pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds.
I would do sunflower seeds.
Why is it important for us to buy food locally?
For it can make us healthy and strong, and we could get nutrients in our body.
Why would locally grown food have more nutrients than stuff that might have been sitting in the store for longer?
If it was sitting in a grocery store, then there's a good chance bacteria could eat some of the nutrients in that good part of it.
So it starts to decompose a little.
Yeah, I should have said that.
Yeah.
Well, if you get it locally, it might have more nutrients, and that's it.
It would be more nutritious. It would be a lot fresher.
If you get it locally, then there would be more nutrients than if it was in a store sitting on the shelf. The funnest activity that we did was looking at the worms and the cocoons and, like, studying them.
The best section I went to was the worms when you got to see the cocoons and I got to see one moving.
Moving in the cocoons?
I think the best activity in the stations was matching the seeds.
Matching the seeds to the plant?
I think the best activity was whenever we were looking at the worms, because whenever we looked at the microscope, there was a worm that was hatching out of its cocoon.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that saved it.
Exciting.
I think all of the sections were fun because we got to learn new things that we didn't know, and we get to try new things that we said we didn't like, but we never tried them before.
You never know till you try, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me some things that you can do to stay healthy.
That you can infuse your water by putting fruit, vegetables, or anything that's healthy. That you're supposed to have 25 grams of sugar a day.
Eat less junk and eat more healthy.
To eat more healthy food, like lettuce, tomatoes, corn on the cob, and bananas. Apples, pears, peaches, strawberries, oranges, lemons maybe.
Fresh, sounds like fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
What will you remember most about today's event?
That you should try new things and don't be scared of eating or drinking them.
And to stay healthy, eat things that are nutritious, and don't be scared to eat them because they might be good.
Never eat junk. Eat more healthy.
I'd probably remember where we tried new foods.
What I will remember is to not just play video games all day or just, like, sit down all day, sleep all day, because then it's going to make your body unhealthy. But if you get up, be more motivated, and do stuff, then you will be able to stay healthy.
Stay tuned for next time.
And thank you for hearing us.
Yes. Goodbye.
Bye-bye,
have a great day.
That wraps up our coverage of the Journey Through the Food System events. Many thanks to the students at Hurley and San Lorenzo Elementary Schools, Principal Martinez, Principal Beeble, Alicia Montoya and the Food Hub, and all the nonprofits that participated to help show kids where food comes from. You've been listening to New Earth Kids. I'm your host, Nan Franzblau. New Earth Kids is produced for Gila Membres Community Radio with music by Jason Shaw. Thanks for listening, and see you next month.
Thank you so much for listening to New Earth Kids, part of the Kindred Continuum series on KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. We'd like to thank the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance and their program, Thinking on a Mountain, for sponsoring this show. We would also like to recognize KURU General Manager Marcus Hansen for his ongoing support. May we all continue to listen, learn, and grow together. Bye now.